This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Last one for me, Lloydie.
Lucky you.
Terrible, terrible theme today.
Final hour of the show, final 25 minutes or so for Graham Creech. Nate Behar is going to join us from the Ottawa Red Blacks, myself and Kenny, to kind of close out the show. Nate's going to join us at 1:30, and we'll take you right through to the drive. Leave us AJJ Jakubek and Maddie Vowles. She's got game, follows that. And then we've got Carolina and the Rangers on TSN 1200 tonight, the early game. Late game is going to start very late. 10:30, it says, when you look it up. But as you know, you've been tracking this. And here's the real reason, okay? Blame the PGA Championship. That's a big reason. ESPN. So they're carrying that game tonight. So that's good exposure for the league, right? When you think, okay, it's going to be on the Big Bird. ESPN won. But the PGA Championship's taking place, and they want to get their other things in. So the puck's not going to drop till closer to 11 o'clock tonight. Morning skate happening, though. And if you go by the Flames morning skate, it looks like Chris Tanev's going to be out again, going with the same combinations and deep pairings that we saw in Game 1 for the Calgary Flames as they get set to host the Oilers for Game 2 coming up this evening.
Lloydie, Toronto Raptors, as you know, have a very difficult time winning Game 1s. The Calgary Flames have lost 12 consecutive Game 2s. Do you believe in that kind of juju? You think it's automatic? What's your feeling as a Flames underwear owner?
Yes.
Going into Game 2 this evening, the Battle of Alberta.
I don't have Flames underwear, but I do have old school Flames starter stuff. Anyways.
The Flames account shared an image of your shirt on someone else who is more decked out than just the shirt.
Oh, man. Yeah, this guy, and he's holding his baby. And he's got Flames jogging pants on. He's got shoes. They're not Calgary Flames shoes, but it's the same color scheme. He's coordinated. Got the hat, everything. The baby's wearing a Flames shirt.
The sweatpants look like they're 25 years old, too.
Yeah. But he's wearing the same thing that I have, and I got this. My dad bought it for me in the 80s. It's old school long sleeve tee, basically, starter, and it's just 80s cheesy loud is the best way to describe it. There's just Flames and crap all over that thing. And this guy's wearing it. It's pretty solid. Now, in terms of juju, I don't know. I think everything is kind of each to its own. The only time we kind of have these discussions, right, where let's use the Leafs as an example. Everybody talks about, well, they haven't won a playoff round in now 18 years since they beat Ottawa in 2004. It's not fair to hang all that on the current Leafs, right? It's like we're talking, well, we've rolled over everybody on the roster, and it's like three cycles ago, really, when you think about it. So that's not fair. That's more of a fan kind of question. And you can't even hang that on Leafs management. They weren't there, you know, through all of that. That's not fair. But when you want to go more recent, the players that are the core top dogs pulling the sled here, they've been around for these first round failures year after year after year. And to be fair to that as well, in year one, that was kind of a house money thing. Matthews and Marner's rookie year, and they lost to Washington in seven games. But at that point, we're just like, this is great. They made the playoffs. Weren't sure if they're even a playoff team this year. Young guys had fantastic years. What great experience. This will serve them well to learn to win. It's been a while now. It's the same guys with Nylander and Riley, and Riley was there even before that. That's kind of how I answer that kind of question in general. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's not related. But I hope the Oilers win. I want a series. I want seven games.
Oh, so do I. I cheer for the story. I really do. I'm not, like, when I was a kid, I grew up a big Flames fan. It's not, I cheer for the story.
Just,
I'm with you.
Like, think about the meltdown that Flame or Oilers fans were having when it was 5-1 or even just 2-0, less than a minute into a game, and Mike Smith getting pulled and just absolute meltdown. You're getting throttled by the biggest rival in any sport team that you cheer for, and there's just the pure and total chaos of those people. And now if they're to win, it'll be exactly the opposite on the other side. So, like, it's just so intense. I want it all. I want seven games. I don't know if I'm feeling it, especially with Dreisaitl. But I hope the Oilers can win at least a couple here and make it a good series.
No, it feels like a short series. And it's not just goaltending, right? And you think, because I think Mike Smith can be better. I think he'll be better tonight. I just think Calgary's a deeper team. And I don't know if the Edmonton Oilers will have enough. They're not going to score six on Markstrom all the time either. Like, Markstrom's going to be better. Calgary's defensive structure will be better as well. Connor McDavid's going to be Connor McDavid, but with Dreisaitl playing, he's not playing hurt. He's playing injured. It's obvious. That's massive for them. That's sucks for the Oilers and Oilers fans. They know it. You're watching that. It's like, oh, man, Leon doesn't look right. I think it's just going to be too much to compete. And if they do, well, then McDavid's just, we're going to be raving about McDavid even more so. That's kind of the only way. McDavid's got to even find another level if Dreisaitl is just going to do the best he can, but he's playing injured. So I'm with you. I don't want to see a short series. I want drama. I would love to see a long series. I want to see more games in this Battle of Alberta. So to that end, wouldn't break my heart if the Oilers won tonight. Keep this thing moving forward. Question for you that we really haven't touched on. We touched on this yesterday, but now somebody's written about it. And a lot of hockey fans that are watching a lot of the Stanley Cup playoffs have commented on this, where I don't care if the actual hockey broadcasts or you're watching SportsCenter or you're watching some other piece of content, you cannot get away from it. There are tons of gambling ads, right? And they're coming at us in so many different ways. Official commercials during commercial stop sets, in-game drops, in-intermission drops, in mid-conversation, intermission drops as well, during the play-by, all of it. It's just, it's coming at us in waves because it's new, and it's just, it's coming. Stu Cowan wrote about this in the Montreal Gazette and lamented this fact, and it sparked more of a conversation, and I've seen that conversation. We always get the quick straw poll on social media, right? And some are saying, you know what, it's because it's new. It's going to die down. You won't notice it as much before. You're overreacting. And then there's the other side of it. It's like, enough. I get it, but this is wow. Like, how much can you force into the same thing here, throwing it at people? Where do you weigh in on it?
Well, the commercials, I don't care, because we get sick and tired of commercials that, like, if you're watching the World Juniors or the Stanley Cup playoffs or just every Sens game, like, there are commercials that you absolutely despise because you see them every commercial island anyways. So that doesn't matter to me if they end up being gambling commercials or what. You're going to get sick of them anyways. What I don't like so far is, and I don't mind that it's a part of the broadcast, and I think it can be done pretty well, but they need to perfect it, or they need to find a way to seamlessly talk about it or drop it into, whether it's play-by-play or at the intermissions. It needs to just be fine-tuned. And like, I'm not criticizing anyone because it's brand new, but it comes off awkward right now, in my opinion, especially during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. Like those segments, I just, it's cringeworthy. And I'm not like anti-betting or gambling. I have $25 on my guy Cam Smith to win the PGA Championship.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, it's not that. I don't listen or pay attention to it. I don't think they've figured out exactly how they want to present it yet.
No, I think you nailed it there. That's a great comment, and the use of the word awkward. Because it's new, I think it just feels a bit awkward. It feels like it's being forced in because they're still trying to feeling out what works, what doesn't work, of how we're going to use this advertising, right? And so I think it's natural that it and the fact that we've never seen this before. Right, you were never allowed to have this level of advertising with gambling before, so it's new to us all. So I sometimes feel the same way. You're watching, and it's like, oh man, I just feel like I'm being slapped in the face with this for 3 hours, right? But then it's like, okay, well, let's give it a year here. Like, how is this going to kind of settle in here? Because it is so new to us all right now to kind of see this. This level of advertising.
They need to hire Lever Sage. I think he would perfect it. Don't you think he could do pretty well on a gambling themed segment or whatever?
Lee has bragged that he made his first bet when he was 3. Was he 3?
Yeah, he was lying down on the floor at the airport, circling the winners and picking the over unders and stuff. Hey, it's not true. It's not true. He was coloring, and it happened to be the gambling section of the newspaper. That's my theory.
Okay. So long story short, I don't have much of an issue with it, but I totally get it because we've never seen it before. And to be fair as well, is during the Stanley Cup playoffs or during the playoffs of any sport, and we'll talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, obviously, your advertisers are your advertisers. And they've paid a lot of money to be partners with you. So if you're watching a lot of the same thing, you're going to be seeing a lot of the same spots, no matter what it's about. And to be honest with you, the ad that bugs me the most, because it grosses me out, is the Skip the Dishes guy with the wings and the cat and the sauce everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just dumb.
That came out last year, did it not? They're using it again.
I think Skip's last year Stanley Cup playoffs was the guy in the cold tub. Or was that this year's regular season?
That was this year's regular season.
That was terrible, too.
But the sauce, like, in the... Yeah. Oh!
Oh! Okay. Even if you were like, I need to wipe it on my pants, like, even if you were going to do that, okay. If you're eating chicken wings, you going to wipe your hands on a cat?
And
it's going to be worse!
No way his wife or girlfriend is, like, kind of bringing him more and just kind of like, hey, my wife walks in and I've made a mess like that on the couch.
You're
and there's
outside.
Sauce everywhere and there's a cat that's covered in it. It's not our cat. And I know they're going for the joke here. But even at a less level, if I'm sitting there and I come in and there's sauce everywhere, it's not going to be, hey, can I get you something? That's not how it's going to play out. That's pretty much the most disgusting commercial I've ever seen. It's, I shiver just thinking about it. It triggers me, Creature, can you tell? That commercial and the almost 11 o'clock face-off tonight. Those are my go-tos here on this, trying to be in a good mood heading into the long weekend. It's all good.
You got to try next Friday, wear one of Kenny's hats. He's got his Friday hat on.
Does he? Okay.
I don't know how he fits it under headphones. Not well. But it makes him happy. It's working.
Okay. Well, speaking of Kenny, we got to take a break here because we're going to go right up until just close to 1:30. Graham's going to take his leave, and then we're going to bring on Nate Behar. So another segment of Graham Creech. Creech's final segment with us.
Should we maybe just extend this one by a few minutes? This is awkward doing this over the radio, but I feel like I need to be out like 4 minutes kind of thing before.
Oh, my goodness. Kenny, is anything else he wants?
I got a meeting at 1:30. I can't join it after 1:30.
You got a meeting at 1:30, so now you got to now what really 1:30 means 1:24.
No, it means joining the meeting on time, not late.
Okay. No, my point is, I was going to come back and then take a short segment.
All right.
Then
if you want to do that,
be
sure.
Ready to go.
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to make you late.
Take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. We're back in a moment. Creature. With some final thoughts with Creature.
Let's go.
On the Stanley Cup playoffs. The floor will be his in his few minutes left with us on the other side. On In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
So what was that, Kenny? I want context.
Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, and Taylor Hicks.
Okay.
I told you, man. It was big back in the day. Well, okay. One day. It was a Friday.
One day.
Yeah, it was a Friday.
And I guess on this day, all these years later, it's been big again, thanks to you.
I'll take it. Yeah. You're welcome, Rebecca
okay.
Black.
Sure. Josh wants to point out to Graham, Friday meeting's usually not a good thing, Grambo.
To peel the curtain back, this is something that I had moved to a later time when we were supposed to, or we thought that we weren't going to be on the air anymore. And I already had it moved like last night. I could move it again.
Yeah, there was a mistake in the schedule that we all overlooked. And Graham thought he had taken care of the issue, but he did not. And so this is something he absolutely has to do. And no, this meeting is not work-related at all. And it is important. I will acknowledge that for our good friend Graham. Kind of important.
Slightly.
Wouldn't go well if Creech skipped this meeting.
I can't
he'd be in trouble. All right. But Gurr the Mad says nothing contributed. He just wants you to give him a Gurr before you leave.
Comes in from Gurr the Mad.
There you go. Okay. Our betting conversation with all the ads that we're seeing right now. Jen's betting commercials are one thing. Betting segment with HNIC personalities between periods is something else. Putting the bet man in NHL hockey comes from Tim. Solid pun there, Tim.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone read it HNIC.
You never heard it called HNIC?
No.
Okay.
HNIC.
I don't think that's just me, but okay, maybe it is just me.
That might not be. I'm just saying I haven't heard it. I always just hear HNIC or Hockey Night for Hockey Night in Canada. HNIC. There you go.
Dennis writes, yes, that's crazy. Commercial with sauce gives me nightmares. I'm not the cleanest guy, but yeah, I would have been killed by my wife.
Yeah, see, that one doesn't bother me like it bothers you. I do agree that it sucks, but it doesn't bother me.
No, it's pretty much, it's, would you not, I, I we could go down a commercial rabbit hole on YouTube and probably find other examples. But I have to say that's probably the most gives me the heebie-jeebies, gives me the willies, gives me the most disgusting ad that I've ever seen. And it's on high rotation because they're a big sponsor. And I understand that. But for me, it eats at me, obviously. Drives me nuts, creature. Dennis, you and I are on the same page. Got you. I feel you. All right, creature, beat it. Don't be late for your meeting. It's only important. By the way, creature might surprise us at the end of the show.
Slight possibility. I'm saying doubtful, but if I'm still here, I will.
He might pop back. All right, we'll take a break. Enjoy your long weekend. Nate Behar is going to join
Black.
Myself. Yeah, good for you. Nate Behar is joining myself and Kenny Walls coming up next from Red Blacks camp on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, 1:30. Welcome back to it. In the Box, TSN 1200. Final half hour of the show. We'll take you up till 2, where Lee, AJ, Maddie will be standing by. Coming up after that, she's got game. And then we're going to have game 2 between Carolina and the New York Rangers tonight at 7 on TSN 1200. And you know what? 2 weeks from tonight on TSN 1200, Red Blacks football. Preseason gets underway. Camp is open. After a deal was struck between the CFL and the CFLPA, still needs that full membership vote, but we're off and running. Camps are open. The on-field session is done for the day down at TD Place, and very pleased to go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome in Red Blacks receiver, also a former Carlton Raven, Nate Behar. Nate, good afternoon. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Thanks for joining us here. I guess I got to ask you first off, what were your thoughts going through this process, right? Camps were supposed to open Sunday, and we're wondering how close are the two sides, and you've obviously got a very vested interest as a player in the league. Where was your headspace at as we were all kind of observing, and you're on the inside of this?
Yeah, it's always weird, for sure. Like you have a date in your head that you're going to be going full speed and crashing the guys and trying to make catches and all that fun stuff, and, then it starts to move, and it's kind of get that weird middle zone of like, how do I stay mentally ready for the hat dropping at any time? But it was what it was. I'm sitting beside him, so I'm not just trying to pump his tires. But our reps, Prue and Antoine Pruneau and Brendan Glanders, they did an incredible job kind of keeping us up to date. So we did have a good kind of understanding of where we stood. But there's no sugarcoating it. It's just weird. It's just a weird kind of dead space you sit in.
So now that you're back on the field, how great does it feel? And as I just said, just a one week out from an actual football game being played, and we all know what everybody's been through. It was a shortened season last year. You didn't play at all the year before, and now no restrictions. We're going to have a full CFL season, and now it seems to be full steam ahead.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Even the simplest things about building chemistry with your teammates, It's surprising how hard it is, when everyone's got a mask and you're kind of all stuck in your little pods, and when it's team lunchtime, you're only allowed to sit with six people in a room, and so just even the littlest things, maybe at the time we didn't really take into account. Now that we're sort of back to normal and we can hang out in the lounge and eat together and walk and actually see guys face to face, it gets you really excited for how fun this is all going to be. So I can't wait to kick it off.
And it was a very active offseason. A lot of new personnel coming in, some high profile, and somebody that you're hoping to get some good chemistry with, and a new number one quarterback in Jeremiah Masoli. What's the early relationship there for you personally, and just, Masoli and some of the other new guys that have come in here and just fitting in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, it's been amazing. I heard nothing but good things about Jeremiah from anybody that's ever played with him, years before this, but getting to finally meet him, and he got into town, a month and a half or so ago, so we've been throwing together for a while. It's been great. Not only is he, a talented vet that gets it, but he also, he comes at things with a fresh approach with, real fire in him, and a super, a huge competitor, but he also gets it. You know, he knows, he understands that he can bring all his guys in and sort of build those relationships as humans first, which is always awesome. And then just across the board, you know, the vets we brought in, I'll mainly speak for the offensive side. You know, it's great to have guys like Darvin and Jalen and stuff like that that have done it at such a high level. And the group seems to be meshing pretty well. It seems like we're all very agreeable with one another. I think is the best way to say it, which is awesome to see. You never know how, you know, new bodies are all going to, new personalities as well, are all gonna gel, but it's been great so far.
Nate Behar is joining us, Red Blacks receiver. What expectations for yourself, Nate? You're a veteran now in this league here, and I know you made some comments late last season that, you know what, I got to put some more responsibility in myself. If I want to take that next step as a receiver in this league. So going into your off season and starting anew here, what's your personal expectations for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's to contribute at a high level. I'm past just wanting to be out there, to be out there. It's about knowing what your strengths are. And I think after, you know, four seasons, I know where my strengths lie, and leaning into those, it's even something, you know, talking to the rookies and try to instill them, and like, be who you are, like, do the things that make you worth, you know, that bring you into the building, and do them as best as you possibly can to separate. And so I know what those can be for me. And so I know the sky's really the limit. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great to be a part of, you know, it's going to be a dynamic offense as well. So I'm not going to throw around any numbers or any bold predictions. I think I'm smarter than that at this point. But it's going to be fun. I know that I can be consistent in and out, you know, be reliable, be dependent, not make mental mistakes, and you know, make plays when the ball comes my way, and that's just what I wanted daily. If that ends up being 10,000 yards, then sweet, that's awesome. I'll go to Berkey's office and ask for all the money in the world. And if that ends up being, you know, 500 and a whole bunch of wins in the good side of the column, then let's do that as well.
So what you're telling me is you're not going to compete with Jeremiah Masoli because you took some snaps under center last season, that you're not going to pivot to quarterback?
I think my four or five plays I have for the for my highlight tape when I'm showing my kids when I'm 50 is all I need. I don't think I need any more of those.
Speaking with Nate Behar, and Nate, I remember, I don't know if you do, we spoke to you because time becomes a flat circle during the pandemic, unfortunately. And I want to say it was during 2020 when at the stage where are we playing, are we not, there was still a chance. And you were doing some different things. And my takeaway after speaking to you on that day was, you know, you might be going in another direction with your life here. As you look back, how close did you come to saying, you know what, the pandemic influenced the decision that you possibly, you know, you could be doing something else today?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's funny you mentioned, there was definitely a moment, you know, it definitely was, starting a business and stuff like that, is a lot, and it's fun because you get to get some of your competitive juices out in a very different way, you know, being I guess, an entrepreneur, which is probably the most overused word in the 21st century, but regardless, it definitely crossed my mind. I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I have people that I work with and people on my team on that side of things that, you know, support me putting on the pads and doing this for 6 months of the year and still kind of keeping that all going. So it was a thought for a moment, but I think I know who I am at the end of the day, and getting to run around on the field is kind of number one on the descriptors, I guess. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, and it's, you know, how many people listening right now, no matter what you do for a living, had thoughts like that. Like when everything shut down, it's like, all right, maybe. But then, you know what, you come back to what you're true to. Speaking with Nate Behar, Red Blacks receiver. So it is 1 week from tonight when we're going to have an exhibition game here. You mentioned Berkey, and that's Sean Berkey was the new general manager of the Red Blacks. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's still Oseg and Mark Gowdy and all the way down here. But on the football operations side, that's a new head, Marcel Desjardins. Jardin was the only general manager this franchise had ever known. So you have dealt with both here. What's the tone being set from Burke all the way down here?
I will say he's, you know, how we often talk about players, coaches, and, you know, scheme type coaches and whatnot. That's how Berkey is. He's one of those players GMs in a great way. He's done a very good job just bringing sort of a level of care and genuine, you know, a genuine approach to things, kind of looking at us as people and really centering, you know, our experience as human beings first and foremost, and that's that's so powerful when it comes from the top, you know. He's super genuine. He doesn't, you know, he's not trying to be flashy up there and use big words or anything like that. And that's just, he's just trying to talk to us as dudes, you know. It's just a 100 dudes in a room right now in camp, and he's very open and honest with that, which means a lot, you know. It lets you kind of, you know, sometimes when the people in the suits are up there talking, everybody can kind of, you know, you get a little tight. And he does a really, really good job of letting people kind of just relax and lean back and, you know, feel like we're all sort of in this together, which is great.
Now, before we let you go, how did you prepare for this season with your off season? Did you spend it all in Ottawa, your training and just gearing up for this year?
I actually, that's funny you ask. I took quite a different approach than usual. Traditionally, I am what I think some people would call a meathead, meaning I would just sort of lift up and pick up and put down all the iron in the world and put all the weight on my back. And this year, I kind of listened to Coach Zuber, our receivers coach, and Lapo, and really just focused on being able to run forever. So I'm a little lighter than I was last year. I spent some time down south, spent some time in the Bahamas and in Mexico and stuff. But the biggest focus was just be able to run forever. And it's, you know, we're only 2 days in, but it feels like it's starting to pay off a little bit, because usually I'm all bulky and trying to be a little muscle hamster. And this year we're feeling a little bit more like a distance guy that can kind of, you know, hopefully last 18 games, which is the real battle.
Oh, good stuff. Well, we can feel your energy, and great to have football back here. And we got a game, preseason game, albeit coming up about 1 week from tonight. It's going to be so much fun just to see a full crowd watching Red Blacks football again. And Nate, appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's Nate Behar joining us, Red Blacks receiver on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Says thanks to Chris Hoffley lining that up for us there as well. All right, we'll take a break, come back, one more segment of In the Box with you here today. He's not coming back, is he, Kenny? Hey, even if he could, he's ditching us. Kenny and I'll take you home. All right.
See, I want to lie to you and I want to say no, he's already left the building, he's cruised out of here, he's checked out, but that's not the case. He's still on his meeting in the booth there, so there's a potential to it, but I wouldn't put it at a high percentage.
All right, well, we're back, we'll soldier on.
If
In the Box continues
so.
On TSN 1200.
Back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Mercifully, that's over.
Last
this is
one.
The last segment.
Yeah, last one.
All right.
Can't say you didn't enjoy some of those, Lloydie.
It was different, Kenny.
It was something.
It was something. That happened, as I like to say.
There were a few positive texts about it, and no negative ones. So what we can learn from that is that it's 2-0 in favor of playing Rebecca Black parody songs every Friday from now on.
Oh. And apparently there's an endless catalog, according to you.
There really is.
Okay. We got a few texts we can get to before we put a wrap on this. Just give an update, though, on the PGA Championship as we are getting into the afternoon wave. Justin Thomas, and I've got it on here, and the wind has been a bit of a factor. The scoring has not been tremendous so far today at Southern Hills. So curious to see how that's going to impact the cut line, because the cut line right now, you got to be +3 or better to make the cut. And incidentally, Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, is right on that cut line. He's +2 today, +3 for the tournament, and he's got 3 holes to play. So he is right there. If he can get it into the house at 3 over, I think he'll definitely play the weekend. And even if he bogeys, I'm not sure. I think there's a chance the cut line could move to 4 over par. And if it does, that's the only way Adam Hadwin's going to play the weekend. The Canadian is in the house. He was 1 over today, which, as I'm looking at the scores, that's not a bad score today so far at the PGA Championship, but might not be good enough. He is a 1 over 71. So 4 over for the tournament is Adam Hadwin. And he's probably going to need a little bit of help. And that's where Tiger is as well, as he'll get set to tee it up He's at 4 over par. He's playing with Rory and Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy at 5 under, now sharing the lead with Justin Thomas, who won the PGA 5 years ago. And he is at 5 under par after he was a 3 under 67. And that's a fantastic round, the way the scoring has been so far on the course today. All right. We'll get to a few more of your text messages straight ahead here, Kenny. But as I say that, Kenny, cards on the table. As our former co-host friend used to say, I've had a major crash here, Kenny. Isn't that perfect timing?
Steve has texted in.
Thank you, Kenny.
Make it 3-0. Yeah, make it 3-0.
Oh.
Yeah, everybody wants to hear more Rebecca Black parodies, clearly, as you take a wide poll of our listeners.
Everybody?
Everybody.
I need a little support here at the end of the show. I'm already down because I got to stay up late and watch the Battle of Alberta because ESPN's carrying the PGA Championship, and we've got to start at close to 11 o'clock tonight. So I'm not in the best of humor to begin with that.
Will you be able to take a nap today, or are you going to indulge in a couple beverages like you have done in the past on a Friday in the afternoon?
We'll see. No, I went to bed at a reasonable hour last night. I just couldn't make it. I only watched the first period of the Blues Avalanche game. Anyways, I've rectified the situation here. Okay, I've switched to my phone, Kenny, for some text messages as I can get to a few here. I want to thank you to Lindsay. Lindsay's a longtime listener. Hi guys, I'm listening on the podcast. I'm a bit behind. I just heard Lucy's text. Right on. Women know hockey too. I'm proud to be a woman, mother, and a hockey nut. I look forward to seeing women as GMs in the NHL. Yes. Have a wonderful weekend, guys. Love your show. Listen each day as I work remotely. From Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate you listening. This one comes in. Giving love to Lee on his betting story. Now, just to back it up, Lee has told this story a few times over the years. Allegedly, Lee was betting and making picks in a diaper at the airport when he was like a toddler, maybe. Okay? So, allegedly. So, giving some love to Lee on his betting story. True story. Should be at minimum a TV movie, maybe a showcase show, LOL, but it's legit. That's Chris from CP. Le Champion. Lee will know the reference. Okay. To our gambling ad conversation, it was sparked by Stu Cowan's piece in the Gazette. Enzo says it makes him cringe. I'm not going to phrase it the way you did, Enzo, there. It's a little, I don't want to be too harsh, okay, on people's appearance, but I'll say this. Simmer, I was listening to Simmer this morning, basically said it's nice to see Craig Anderson back on TV. All right, so if you're watching, you'll know exactly what the reference means.
Can I switch over to Twitter for a moment?
What do you got? Oh, more support for you.
No.
Oh.
Kevin Weeks has just tweeted out, Dallas Stars head coach Rick Bowness will step away effective immediately.
Ooh.
Assistant coaches will also not be returning. So Kevin Weeks has just tweeted that out.
That's interesting because Rick Bowness is at a stage in his career. I always thought that it was always going to be, like he says, he's going to step away. Was he asked to step away, or is Rick Bowness choosing to step away? Rick Bowness is 67 years old. Rick Bowness, was it last year, Kenny, where he ended up breaking the record for most games coached in the history of the NHL? And that's assistant slash head coach combined. Like, nobody has stood behind an NHL bench for more games in the history of the league than Rick Bowness, the original coach here of the Ottawa Senators. So, obviously, Dallas going in a different direction, and Rick Bowness is no longer the head coach of Dallas. I wonder what's next for him. Like, does he want to keep going and keep coaching? Because some of his comments during the season, or even when he took over for Jim Montgomery, didn't you get the sense, Kenny, that it was kind of like a, yeah, I'm doing this, but I could never get a good read on what his true intentions were at this stage of his career. But we know this, he's no longer coaching Dallas.
Yeah, and it's obviously he's got a passion. He's got a love for hockey. He wants to be around it, or else you don't do it. You don't go into assistant roles. You don't be behind the bench as much as he has outside of being a head coach unless you have the passion for it. And maybe he takes a year or two away, whatever the case may be, steps away, family time, and then goes back into it, realizes how much he misses it. That wouldn't surprise me from Rick Bowness. And he shows up somewhere else in an assistant role or maybe another head coaching job. But I can't see him staying out for too long. He's got a passion, and he's followed it throughout the course of his career.
And so that furthers the discussion. We had the coaching discussion earlier. There are a lot of high-profile name coaches that are sitting there looking for employment. And probably the most sought after is Barry Trotz.